Welcome to the Another Book on the Shelf podcast. I'm Jet.
And I'm Jen.
And we have another author publisher collaboration. We're having a day. It's a publisher collaboration.
Yes.
But with an author that I'm intrigued by now.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, totally. Also, episode 97. We're so close to 100.
We're so close to the 100th episode, which seems absolutely wild. It's funny because with the Teenage Daydream one, we've already surpassed that because so many episodes.
Yeah, of teen drama shows.
Yeah, and we do a weekly one instead of bi-weekly.
Yeah.
But that somehow still doesn't seem as as nuts to me as this.
Yeah. So close. But three more episodes to go. As I mentioned, we are working with House of Anansi. We've worked with them on 2 to 3 to 4 episodes. We did The Autopsy of a Boring Wife as well as its sequel. And we kind of did like a spring release with them one time, whether there was pallbearing and the one about the mask and the CPR dummy.
Oh, yes, yes.
oh, my God.
Coming Up for Air?
Yes. I saw the book at Word on the Street, but I can't remember what it was called.
Yeah.
I feel like there might have been another episode in there somewhere.
Yeah, there was.
So at least those three for sure. Right? I know.
Oh, my goodness. I can picture the cover.
The train.
Yes.
Miles to Go Before We Sleep?
That's the one.
Yes. But yes, as you know, we love working with Toronto publishers, Toronto independent publishers. She says that she's angry because she's been trying to email one of the big ones, the big one, and none of their media emails even work. So, like Benedict Cumberbatch says, the pen wings...
Yeah.
The pen wings over it. So we're going to stick to... We also need to, go to House of Anansi. It's like, you go there to the store.
I know, right?
We need to figure out where it is and where Coach House is.
Isn't House of Anansi in, sort of near... nearish the junction? It's not really the junction, but it's...
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure it is. There's, some breweries nearby as well. Because it's all, old warehouses.
Oh, intrigue.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, yes.
I'm pretty sure.
We'll have to start reaching out to these people and be like, hey, can we come? And look around at stuff. Huh. Anyways, why don't you tell us a little bit about House of Anansi? I have a little bit in the notes there.
Oh, yes.
That left column.
Amazing.
Those three. Yeah.
Have we ever done a little background on House of
Anansi? I don't know, because reading this didn't sound like anything familiar to me. So that's why I was like, I should probably put this in here.
Okay, so it was founded by writers Dennis Lee and David Godfrey before there was really a proper literary scene in Canada. And they founded it to publish poetry. So, and this is in the heyday of hippie Yorkville. Yes, everyone. Yorkville used to be for hippies.
If you don't know now, Yorkville is the antithesis of that. Yeah. It is the bouge of the bouge.
Uh-huh.
Bougiest bouge.
It's where you're going to find all your designer stores and all that jazz.
Yeah.
It's fancy now.
Yeah, I'm fake bouge. So my Apple Watch is technically Hermes, and I went to get a leather band because I was if I'm going to get a leather one, I might as well, whatever. I felt ridiculous in Hermes.
I mean,
and then they gave me the most giant bag that I had to walk around with.
Well, yeah, you need to do some advertising for them after you've paid a bunch of money.
Yeah. That's what Yorkville is now. It is not teeming with draft dodgers and...
yeah, right. Yeah, Canada's celebrating Expo 67 and its 100th anniversary. But basically, people were wanting to read books written by Canadians, finally.
Yeah.
So they expanded to publish authors. So they've published Michael Ondaatje, Matt Cohen, Northrop Frye, Margaret Atwood, Aaron Moore?
Yeah.
Oh, and Margaret Atwood worked there as an editor, so that's cool. Yeah, and now it's Canada's leading independent publisher, which is very cool. So, shout out to House of Anansi, whom we love.
And they have like a one of their subsidiaries is Groundwood Books, which I think does a little bit some younger, middle grade younger kids. They also do like graphic novels. I saw them at they had a
Oh,
table
nice.
at
TCAF?
Toronto, TIA,
Toronto Comic Arts
Arts
Festival?
Festival. Yeah, this past weekend as well. So yeah, they're cool and we like working with them. Yay. And the book that we read
Yes.
is A Waiter in Paris by Edward Chisholm. We kind of like we had a list and we were like looking at books and I was like, oh, I feel like this memoir about being a server
Yeah, like maybe relatable.
maybe we'll have stuff to say.
Hopefully.
For anyone who doesn't know, we both used to work together at an art gallery, but in the food and beverage department. There was cafes, espresso bars, like full restaurants. We've also done that outside of the gallery. I've managed restaurants. I've managed, well-known coffee places with a mermaid on the front. Jen's been a pastry chef. Like we've spent
Yeah,
time
we spent some
in
time in the food
said,
industry, that's for
yeah.
sure. Yeah.
So much of reading this, I was like, oh, yep.
Right? Like, wow, it's just the same everywhere, isn't it?
Oh man, and we weren't even like,
Right.
anywhere. Even at the gallery, there was still one
Oh,
above
as
us.
far as serving jobs go, like, that one was very cushy.
But yes, so it is inspired by George Orwell's Down and Out in Paris and London. It's a portrait of the underbelly of contemporary Paris through the eyes of a young waiter who's just trying to like straight up like scrape out a living.
Oh,
Like,
yeah.
why don't you tell us about the author?
Yes, so Edward, whose name I will not be able to pronounce.
Chisel?
Chisholm?
Chisel? Chisel?
Listen, there are certain English names that I just can't wrap my head around,
There's
and
like consonants together, I
Chisholm
get
is one of them.
it.
That's his name, though. He was born in Dorset, England. Thank goodness he wasn't born in a stranger English name that I also would not be able to
Somewhere
pronounce.
in Wales.
No, I was thinking somewhere like Worcestershire. Either way, he moved to Paris in 2012 after graduating from the school of, they might need to change that name, Oriental and African Studies in London. Seems like an odd use of that word that is
Even
continuing.
2012?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Either way, he was a resident of Paris for 7 years, spent the first four of them working a whole bunch of low-paid jobs from waiting and bar work to museum security and market hand while trying to build a career as a writer. Mood, my guy. Now he makes a living as a copywriter slash pen for hire, aka freelance writer, with ambitions of writing novels. Aren't we all, dude?
Yeah.
His work has appeared in the New York Times, The Guardian, and the Financial Times. So, making it work for himself.
Yeah, and one note, so this is actually like a preview episode.
Yes.
The book comes out on August 9th. But we got a little bit early and wanted to talk about it now.
Yeah.
So what did you think of the book? Let's talk.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's very much just like, it's a pretty straightforward memoir of working as a waiter. And I mean, like, I was wondering if parts of it were gonna surprise me, and it didn't really. But I mean, I've also worked in restaurants, so yeah. I think actually what surprised me maybe was I was expecting it to be maybe more different than my own experience. And it wasn't as different as I thought it might be.
Yeah, that
Yeah.
makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, and just 'cause like I think because, again, we have so much experience, but then also in our heads, that idea of like, this is a slightly higher than like middle type restaurant. Like, it's not the fanciest of fancies, but it's, a slightly more than average bistro. But I think we just all have that idea of like how the Parisian restaurants and the waiters and like how it's just like would be like even more strict and crazy and stuff than we think it was. Whereas again, yeah, everything that happened, I was just like, yep.
Yeah, all of it. And I
There.
mean, because like our experience was so different with like, I think he lays out the sort of hierarchy of the restaurant really well, right? With like your dishwashers, your line cooks, your the runner, which is how he starts as a food runner, and then like the waiters and the head waiter and going up from there. The sort of manager and then the manager.
And director.
Right. Yeah, there was like an extra step in there because.
Yeah, I feel like it would probably be, the equivalent of to our like restaurant manager and then like GM.
Yeah, and then they have like the patron, the patron
Like the
for
actual like
who's like the
owner.
owner, presumably. And even just like the way, like I loved when he started to figure out how to make it work for himself as a runner to make tips and sort of played the waiters against one another by only helping the waiters who were actually giving out tip money to him. And like ours was never quite that cutthroat because we pooled our tips. But I've heard stories
Oh, yeah.
of other restaurants where people are very competitive for their tips.
Well, just like, because even like, I won't say the specific name of it just because whatever. But so, like, we also had like a fine dining restaurant where we worked that we did not work in. It was definitely like that, far more like that up there. Partially due to the people that worked there, they were just not always the greatest people. I worked at that building for a really long time, so I knew a lot of people. But then just even like the structure of, like the hierarchy of everything. And even for us, as much as we didn't have that, we did have that because
Oh yeah, for sure.
we actually did work with everyone in all the different kitchens. So we actually kind of got like almost the best of all of it, 'cause like, or like the better experience, or like not like better as in good, but just as in like more experience, because we actually were working with everyone. I remember one time, I think the renovate, you started right after the renovation, right? Or right before, yeah. So during the renovation, we had like a fake lounge set up in the atrium. And one day in the fancy restaurant, something happened with one of the ovens. There wasn't like a fire, but there was some sort of situation
Oh, God.
with smoke, and they had to like shut the restaurant down. So we ended up getting really busy because they were sending everyone down there, but then they sent their like servers and runners and stuff like that. But we never had runners because it was always just
No.
us. We had to do everything. We were.
Yes, so yeah, like this in the book with like their drinks getting made for them and their tables getting cleared for them and their food being run for them. I was like, dude, their dishes being washed for them. We did all of that.
All of that.
All of it.
But so it was just, there's a few of us. It was like a weird setup because, again, it was in the atrium, and like obviously like Jen will understand the architectural distance here. But then like everything was still being made in the PK. So we were like running, actually
Oh
running
God.
like through all of those doors to get like back and forth. But so they sent all of the people, like the servers and runners from the restaurant up to help us. But because we didn't have runners, we weren't really thinking about that. So like we just had everyone, like I was giving sections to everyone, we were doing things, this and that, whatever. It was super busy, we did the thing, whatever. It was like the end of the day. The end of the day. And then someone's like, I think Mackenzie must have come up or something. And she was like, oh, like I can't remember what his name was, but like, we'll just say like John. Was he serving tables? And I was like, yeah. Like, we all had sections, we were doing our thing, and this and whatever. And like, oh yeah, no, like he's just like he was just like a runner busboy. But no one said anything. No one told me. He didn't say anything. So then, I mean, like, she was happy that like he got the experience at least, but I was just like, well, like no one said anything. So just
God,
like,
that's
guess.
so funny.
So I just fully like threw him in. I wasn't, I was just like, yeah, so, you know, this is the menu, like, you know, go take that table. And he was just like, okay. Good times. Good times.
Hilarious. I mean, and it's funny too, because you see in this book, like the way he works up from runner. Honestly, this man has more courage than I would have had the way
Oof.
he began.
Man. Well, because
I like, whoa. First of all, barely speaks French.
Yeah.
Second of all, has never ever worked in a restaurant before. Doesn't even really know what a runner is supposed to do.
And doesn't really know if he has the job or not.
Right.
He's just kind of there.
Yeah. Which, like, I simply could not do. I would not be able to do it. My anxiety levels would not allow it. At least I would know what a runner is.
Yeah. But like, yeah.
But, whew. And, like, they are not welcoming to him.
No. Ooh. Yeah. It's
But, like, I also love, I love how you get to see the progression of him starting from that position where, like, nobody wants anything to do with him. They
Yeah.
kind of, like, resent his presence and his existence in the restaurant. To, like, he ends up being part of, you know, part of the group.
Yeah, like super spoiler, like they all end up going to one of their wet like wedding together, and
Yeah.
it's because like they're like part of the family, they're the brotherhood.
Which
Oh
is such
man.
a good, really, and even like the way that sometimes during service they get snappy with each other, but then they're all friends
Absolutely.
afterwards. And
Yeah.
it's just such an accurate representation of at least like from what I've experienced.
For sure. Well, cause, especially because like everywhere that I worked like that, I was in some sort of management role, but also like out on the front lines, like with everyone, like doing the same stuff. But that's what it was. Like, yeah, like sure, we have the crazy, preview day and you yell and whatever and this and that, but then like you still go out after and like it doesn't,
Yeah.
like it's
And the
separate from
like the
that.
camaraderie of it came off really well, I
Yes.
think. Yeah, and the way you just like go out drinking afterwards. Lord.
Oh, the amount of times I like out of my head full on fights, and then it's still fine.
Yeah, right.
As soon
No.
as it was over, it was fine.
Absolutely.
Service is done,
100%.
then we're fine.
Yes.
Because that's just how it works.
Yeah. It's just, yeah.
Well, and I think one of the quotes was like, if you're to end up like spending your entire life serving tables, the truth is it's a cruel existence. Because he talks about, like living week to week and like, a wage, especially even if you think about like America, like you make less than minimum wage because you're supposed to make tips that then get you up to minimum wage, which is awful because that is not a tip.
Yeah.
And just like how physically demanding it is. And like that really shows off too, just how he has like no money because he had moved there with a girlfriend. And like he kind of just like never really worked, but then she was gonna go back to England and he stayed. So he had like nowhere to live, no job. His, he had to stay in what sounded like a not pleasant hotel.
No, like
Hotel's probably
terrible.
not the right word.
No.
It's the place where like if you're watching Law and Order or Criminal Minds or something, where like you'd go, where like the police would go to like ask someone questions because they rent things out by like the hour.
I was gonna say the kind of place that rents by the hour.
Yeah.
Yes.
And he has like a roommate. Like it's not even that he's just
Oh
like
yeah, no. And like a roommate, and like by roommate, I really do mean like room, like they're in the room together
Yes.
and they have a sink.
That his roommate uses also as a toilet.
Ugh.
And like the roommate had some like weird, I'm gonna say night job, but like
Yeah,
he had a
unclear.
briefcase, he had a knife, that was all you kind of really like
Yeah.
figured out.
Well, then the next place he ends up at
Oh.
is like some weird little like attic bedroom kind of situation where he has
Yeah.
bed bugs.
Yeah. And
Also
it's,
horrible.
yeah, well, and he said like it's. He said something, 'cause everything was like from the bed, he could like reach the sink and the stove. Like he was like,
Yeah.
oh, whole new spin on like bed and like breakfast in bed or something.
Yeah.
Oh, but I feel like the last place that he, so the last place he ended up getting was with through someone else through the restaurant that had something to do with someone in the church or something. I don't know, but they had a ring
Yes.
somewhere, and that seemed to at least kind of be better.
Better situation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, at least it seemed like clean and like
Yeah.
normal.
What else I
Not a
just love too, like,
hole
just him, like, even just simply talking about money and like how, like, what, tips were kind of that, like,
in the wall. Living off your tips.
yeah, living off your tips, but then also in a way where, all the other guys, like, they would go out and like spend their tips every night, like, 'cause, like, they would go out and drink and party and whatever. And because it was this, what do they keep calling them? Like the ephemera or something, like you're just,
Yes.
you're meant to just spend it on, the other stuff. But like he was literally like, he didn't get paid for the first like month and a half or something, like a
I
wage. So he couldn't even like do that because like there just was no money.
Well, and he also just like wasn't really making tips at the beginning either.
Yeah, for the longest
Like,
time.
good God. And I mean, I definitely used to just live off my tips.
For sure.
Like that whole idea of it, like tips are spent on food and drink and that kind of stuff. Like that is exactly what I did with my tips.
Oh, yeah.
And spending tip money always felt kind of not like spending money.
Yeah, even though like we needed it
Oh
to
yeah,
like
no,
make up for the
absolutely.
rest.
And because there was that part too where like he talked about how you'd spend all your tip money and then grumble about it later if your tips weren't as good. And like we had that so much at the gallery, especially because you'd
Yeah.
have crazy tips during shows. And then
Yeah.
as soon as you had that lull in between shows, you were making like nothing.
Yeah.
All of a sudden you're like, damn it, I should have saved some of that tip money.
Yeah. Well,
But you
just and
never
they
did.
no. Well, no, because they always talked about like they would show like their like waiter wallet like filled with cash and like the amount of times that I've bought so much groceries with just like
Oh, yeah.
$5 bill after $5 bill after $5 bill.
Yeah, I know. It like it's because so many people would pay with a card at the grocery store, the number of times I would do my groceries and they'd automatically get the card reader going, and I just like hand them a stack of fives and
Yeah.
they're kind of like, okay. Yes, I'm a waiter. Oh, man.
When I like
It almost
how,
made me miss it, even though like it is
for sure.
not painted in a overly romanticized light at all.
Well, and I think that's it's just it is that we can see the romance in it, even
Yeah.
though he's literally like dirty all the time. His suit doesn't fit. His it sounds like all of their, uniforms are just like rank.
Yeah.
They don't have money. Half the time they hate, different people hate each other, and there's the people who are trying to like weasel up and like take over things and this and that, and like they don't get breaks. They work for 14 hours. They don't get paid. Like all those things. But then at the same time, you're just like, oh man. But like,
Yeah.
when they come together and like when he learns things and he
Yeah.
does stuff, you're like, yay!
It's true. It's true. I don't know. There's something about it.
I know. Like, I just want to live, be able to live off the podcast and then work like 2 to 3 hours a week in like a coffee shop.
I mean, that's the thing is like I would totally work a restaurant job, like a waiting job permanently. If I didn't have to be pulling the kind of hours you're frequently having to pull.
Well, and in that like desperate for
Yeah,
tips way.
exactly.
Like if it was just,
But yeah, if it was just like a side gig that made me some extra cash,
yeah.
absolutely. 'Cause I like it. I really do. Like it I don't always like it. There are definitely days where you're gonna complain about it. And you know, he's right about the way people will talk to you and treat you. But yeah, it's very I love the whole just yeah, the trajectory of the whole story of like him working his way up to waiter and like
Well, I really liked how each sort of like sequence of figuring different things out, learning different parts of the restaurant were told through how he was making friends with someone, kind of.
Yeah.
Like, because at first it was just him like literally running around and like not knowing what was happening. But then, you know, he made friends with Nimsath, who was kind of, I guess, like, I don't know, like head expediter-ish, sort of like,
yeah,
the actual, like, not even like garde manger, because they weren't cutting things, they were just, they were plating. Assembly. Yeah, like,
yeah,
the, like, assembly line. And all of, like, his crew, they were all Tamil and, like, a team. But then, like, once, yeah, like, so, you know, he kind of, like, figured the way in, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, and we always had that saying, too, like, I mean, again, a lot of, most of the time we had to do our own dishes. Yeah. But we did know all the dishwashers.
We did.
In the other places, and, like, going to the PK, like, Mohan, as soon as you were in with Mohan, you knew you were good.
It's true.
All of a sudden, then you'd be able to, like, sneak in and get some of their lunch that they made. Yes.
Yeah.
That was always, like...
She always made the best.
And, like, and that was that thing of, like, someone who was new, of, like, you would go in and, like, give them the tour everywhere, and you'd explain, like, who everyone is and what they do, and it's, like, you know, no matter what, like, make sure you're taking care of Mohan. And as soon as I can remember, like, as soon as everyone who was new, when they had that moment where they kind of, like, he helped them or did something extra, mm-hmm. or, like, whatever, then they're like, oh, yes, okay. Like,
yeah. Well, even, like, is it when he, in the book, when he's, is it right after Sal leaves? So they're down a waiter, and so mm-hmm. they like hire in a couple new people, and he can feel that he's like definitely in it now, like in the in group now, because yeah. he's just like basically graduated from being the new guy. Like, he's not the new guy anymore.
Yeah, he didn't actually get to be a waiter yet, but he's not the new guy.
Yes.
And he even exactly. said, like, his welcome, as cold and rude as it was better than the one that these new guys got.
Yeah.
Like the new waiters got. So yeah, it was just that.
And I was like, oh, I know that moment.
Yeah.
Well, and even like, even as somebody, I mean, because God, by the time I left, I was like old crew. Because mm-hmm. It was like 6 years. And there were, oh God, a handful of people who had been there longer than me.
Yeah.
And really, truly a handful, like 4, 5.
Barely, yeah.
Yeah. but even like when you'd have new people and then you'd have new people and you're like, yeah. Oh, you're like, oh yeah, you know, you're not the new person anymore. Like, you've yeah. graduated now. Yeah. There were just so many little moments that yeah. I was like, yeah. Like there was one, he's talking to, who's he talking to here? I don't even remember what's happening. Oh, it's Lucia. And he says something like, it's funny in English, you call our job waiting. It's accurate. We're all waiting for something. Yeah. Just talking about how the life of a waiter is so kind of transient and seemingly temporary for a lot of people.
Well, and with all of kind of Lucien's, like, his story arc, too, like,
mm-hmm.
you know, classic, he's an actor.
I know.
But a waiter, but then, like, he has that moment of, like, realizing that he's not an actor because he doesn't get this one part, but then really he's like, no, I am an actor because I've been acting like I have been for the 10 years, but really I've been a waiter, but I've been waiting for my big break. And it's this like dual situation of like,
let me tell you,
life,
that scene
yeah.
and conversation and moment with could have been conversations I've had with people.
Oh, yeah.
In exactly that same kind of context.
Yeah. And that's why I loved all of the relationships and all of those, like, conversations.
Like, whew.
Yeah.
It's like, too real.
Well, I know, because, yeah, there's another quote, like, fairly early on. Before, I think it's just before he's, like, actually started working there, or when he's kind of, like, you know, figuring it out, and like, because Alice, his girlfriend, is like gonna move back, and obviously, like, you know, they had gone to university, you know, he wants to be a writer. And he had said, like, eventually concluding that school and university have successfully built me up for a world that no longer exists.
Yeah.
And I was like,
yeah.
Ooh.
And yeah.
Yeah.
Right? Lord.
Oh, man.
Yeah, and somehow I don't know how this made me miss it, but it did. It really did.
Well, yeah, because, like, he goes, there's a bunch of different nights where he goes out with the different waiters. Like, he goes out with Sal
Yeah.
one night, and, like, they just get, like, hammered and, like, end up all over. And just, again, so they have, like, no sleep, and then they all have to, like, go in the next day. And, like, there were so many times where, like, it was the next morning, because they all seem to be have to be there for, like, 6 in the morning,
Oh,
but then
yeah.
there was some sort of breakfast at some point, but then, like, lunch service was the real service, and that started at, like, 11:30. But then there was a dinner service that sometimes you ended up having to stay for, so then they ended up working till, like, midnight, and then they go out, and you're just like, oh my God.
Yeah.
And
I
I.
mean, I cannot do that anymore.
No. But we did.
Oh, we did. We absolutely did. The number of times you'd go out and then come to work the next morning. I mean, we never had to get there that early unless we were working. No, we never got there that early.
I had to get there that early when I worked at Starbucks.
Right. Yeah.
There were definitely times where was like, okay, I'm just gonna, like, lay down for 20 minutes then go
I mean,
open a
and I had to get up
Starbucks.
that early when I worked in the bakeries, and I have definitely done that,
Oh,
where
yeah.
you go out the night before and then basically go home to have a nap, and wake up and get to your next shift still drunk from the night before. Yeah.
I can remember the day we had all gone out to Quinn's show, and then went out, and then went out. And then
Yeah.
thankfully I was opening with Carol. She always picked me up, so I didn't have to worry about, like, walking to work or anything. So, like, that saved me, like, another, like, 15 minutes of sleep right there. And I can just remember being like, because we had to get there for, like, 5 o'clock, and it was just like, you just have to be, like, sober enough for when Monica comes in at 7:30,
Oh, God.
because she like, I mean, again, I was the person in charge, also,
Right.
for the record here. But she was just, like, older and, like, because this was her, like, after retirement job. So I just didn't want to be this jackass, like, trying to be her manager. And I was, so yeah, I just remember the whole, like, first 2 hours being like, okay, you just have to, like,
Man.
keep it together.
Yeah. I cannot believe that I used to do that.
Well, that's, like, in the book, like, just all those mornings, and, when they have the little, like, pre-shift meetings and stuff like that, and everyone being in various states of
Yeah.
soberness and disarray and awake and whatever, like, it was just for some if someone is reading this who has not been a server, this is very accurate.
Yes. And if
Like,
you think any of it is exaggerated,
it is not.
nope.
No, like,
I don't think there's a single bit of this that's exaggerated.
no, like, at one point he goes into the upper kitchen, which is the actual, like, like, meat, fish, basically the
Where
ingredients
they're
that are
actually
cost,
cooking
yeah,
things.
like, expensive ingredient cooking area.
Yeah.
And he gets, like, reamed out. Like, the guy, like, literally slams him against the wall. Now, that maybe, obviously, like, we have not had experience with, but just
No,
that
not
of
been
the,
physically
like,
assaulted.
you don't go into said kitchen, or you don't
Yeah.
bother said chef, or you don't, like, it's real.
Even the way they say hot behind in French, of course, but
I
I was like, what?
almost died when I read that. Because, again, I understand French. Oh my
Chauderrière.
God. It was one of those things where, like, some of the words, like, I didn't quite catch, because, like, it's in English,
Yes.
but there's bits and pieces in French, because obviously, like, he also didn't know French, so he was learning French, stuff like that. And when I saw that, and I had that moment of, like, Chauderrière. Oh my God. It's hot behind.
Yeah, it is.
Like, I, like, had to, like, put the book down.
Because, like, that is one of those habits that I still sometimes slip into if I'm moving around at home, like at in my parents' kitchen, and I'm coming behind and I will announce behind, or like the number of times I've done it coming around a corner in my house where I'm like corner.
Yeah. Oh,
Like
no, like,
it became so automatic. Like
I used to live with someone else who was also a barista. Like, we worked at the same Starbucks,
that's so
and, like,
funny.
we would be in our kitchen together, and we would
Yeah.
do it, being like, first of all, we can see each other because we're right next to one another, and we're
Right.
the only people here. But it was just such a, like, behind. And you're like, oh God. And
Yep.
you're, like, trying to, like, pass people in the grocery store, and you're like, oh God.
I know, right? Corner. Oh man, it was so good.
Yeah. And I just really loved how he like, and I mean like that's what you want, right? Like, I mean obviously yeah, like, you know, you wanted him to like become a waiter, but it was the accept him being accepted by each of the different, well, not everyone, because some of them we didn't like, but like, you know, the ones that were on our team, we'll say.
Yes.
And then just having those moments with them and like learning more about each of them, so like Sal and Lucien and like D'Souza, and then even like once, because there kind of ended up being like a flip, or just a whole bunch of stuff. Oh, and Adrian, like all kinds of
Yes.
wild stuff was happening.
Whew.
Even in regards to someone being a coke dealer and a
Oh, I
whole bunch
know,
of
right?
the kitchen staff doing coke, like
Yeah.
also accurate.
Yeah.
You know how I was talking about how there was the restaurant above the place where we worked? Yeah. You can think there wasn't, but there
Don't
anyways.
surprise me at all.
Yeah.
Oh, also the other thing was the eating food off of customers' plates after they were done with it if they hadn't finished their meal. Because you think you're above it until you're in the middle of service and you're starving.
Yeah.
And then you are most certainly not.
Well, and I, they, and,
Especially if it was something that very obviously had not been touched. Like
yeah.
the number of times you'd serve like a lobster roll and you could tell that no one had touched their fries.
Yeah.
Like, oh, those fries are mine now.
Well, and even just, I really loved because, like, how coffee was such a thing.
Oh, yes.
And so they were always getting Nimsath and the rest of his crew to like, I guess they also were the, they made the drinks and the coffee and stuff like that, in addition to like plating. And that was the one thing that they could have, right? Like they couldn't, you know, well, I mean, have like made food, you know, because every time like the bread
Right.
delivery came, like they all just were like, oh, fresh bread, croissants,
Yeah.
eh, but they couldn't. But so like they always had coffee, but it was like really bad coffee. But just the fact that like they had to live on that, like it was.
Oh,
It was
yeah.
required to exist as an upright human being.
Yeah.
And even that, and it got me thinking about how, like, yeah, like on those days, conveniently for us though, because it always just looked like we were making drinks for customers, but we could be
Yes,
making them for ourselves.
absolutely. The number of
But
times
like,
I drank a latte for lunch,
yeah. Well, and
so
like,
many.
but like, it like it tasted different. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like for those days, like if it was a preview day or something like that, where you're just like, oh my God, like something, you know, and you'd slam back, like grab a can of pop or like something, like whatever the beverage was,
Yeah.
but especially just the coffee
So
in any sort of
sometimes I
form.
would pour myself a glass of milk because I was like, it's going to be substantial enough on my stomach to like trick me into thinking I've eaten something.
And yeah, like just how like it made the coffee taste different. So even as much as they complained about how bad the coffee was, there's one point where he goes with, I can't remember who it was with, but he was with someone and they went to a cafe and they were serving the same coffee. He
Yeah.
was just like, ugh, come on, like can we go with some like, and
Right.
they're like, no, like this is the coffee, yes, you know, whatever. And it's just like,
Yeah.
oh, I get that.
I also loved all of his conversations with the sommelier when he was learning about wine. That was great. I loved that. Mostly because I was like, I want to sit with a old sommelier and learn about wine. This sounds fun.
Well, and because it was in that way where like, you know, they were having a break, so they went to like a cafe across the street, and we're like drinking and eating cheese plates, and like that's the way to learn
Oh,
about
yeah,
wine.
absolutely. 100%. Not our crazy wine days that we'd have.
Oh, that time that Robin got so drunk.
Which time was that? Was that before me?
Can't, it might have been. But yeah, it was a wine tasting and
I mean, we used to do them.
all the time.
Well, and also, though, you'd get there sometimes for the morning. So none of us
Yeah.
had, like, even eaten. I remember there was one I just had a coffee, and then all of a sudden we were trying wines. I was like, I haven't eaten breakfast. What is happening here?
Well, that's what it was. It was a staff meeting that then turned into the wine tasting because we were
Yes.
switching a whole bunch of wines. And I like I don't like wine, but I always had enough just to like, you know, get the taste and the smell and whatever. So at the very least, she was drinking all of hers and finishing mine.
Oh, God.
But then was finishing like other people's, like she like almost couldn't make it through the end of the,
Oh
like
my
never mind. And then
God.
we always went out after too, right? Yeah,
Yes.
it was a
Yeah.
whole thing.
Yeah.
Oh, wind it. Yeah, could we? Ne well, we never did it with cheese plates. I would have been far more interested if cheese was involved.
Right? would have been great.
Well, I think that for the in the book, like it gave it so much more. It felt so much more like a real Paris versus the like made up version that I feel like I maybe have in my head, even though I know that it's like the made up movie version. Whereas like this felt real.
Well, and because he's living in parts of Paris that you don't really like, that never get shown as like Paris, you know?
Yeah, it felt more like now when you watch a movie and they're like, you know, some sort of like action movie and they're like traipsing through, there's some sort of like car chase through like little narrow things with cafes and chairs and this and that, like that real stuff, not just the like Eiffel Tower and blah 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 and
Yeah, Notre
like
Dame Cathedral and
yeah. The art, the Champs-Élysées and all that kind of crap. Yeah, like it just felt real. The one of the quotes I had written down about him talking about Paris was, people say Paris smells of piss, but in the morning it smells of croissants. And I was like, that's. And like 100%.
It's so funny to me that people say that about Paris because that was never my experience in Paris, but it was absolutely 100% my experience of Marseille.
When I think just that, like, in my head, I just interpret it interpret that as like it's kind of the dirty party scene at night, but then as you're stumbling home, that's when, you know, all the bakeries start and you get like the croissants and it's like
For sure.
you start fresh and
Yeah, and just like the when he's talking about the way the metro will change depending on what time of day you're traveling on it. Yeah. But then I had another quote highlighted where he's also talking about Paris again, except he's kind of romanticizing it slightly because that's the thing about Paris, I think, is that even when you get the real Paris, there is still a little bit of that
That still seems better than like doing it
Paris.
here.
Yeah. Because, okay, so it's kind of longish, but he says, even when you're exhausted, broke, and hungry, there's still an indefinable magic about the place. And no matter how much your feet hurt after a never-ending shift, how physically dead you feel as you walk up the Avenue de l'Opéra at night or across the Seine under the shadow of Notre Dame, inside, you can't help but feel intensely alive because you're in it. You're in the film. You're not watching. You've got a walk-on speaking part, and everything feels possible. Besides, when you're in Paris, you couldn't care less about anywhere else. Your world shrinks. It's the center of the universe. There is nowhere else.
I definitely
And I was
also
like,
have that highlighted.
damn. Because it was so good. I
Yeah.
was like, yes, correct, accurate.
I'm just like flipping through to see some of the notes that I made. When he first starts, he's a runner. So that means, and like they're very strict about how things are done and like the appearance. Like you have to, you know, he has the tray. So
Yeah,
like the
you're
food
bringing
gets
out
stacked
everything on
on.
a tray. You're not touching the plates with your hands
And it's like, but also like
or
the
like
tray is
carrying.
only on one hand, like you can't hold it with your other hand, all that kind of stuff. And all I could think about was those stupid, heavy, awkward, trays in the lounge. Which, like, I don't even
They
under,
were
like, they were so heavy for the size that they were. And like that weird, and I just. Because like the brown plastic ones, I could load that up and carry it, no
Yeah,
problem.
for sure.
But as soon as with those metal, the silver ones, and my like, you know, broken arms, I was just like, I can't. And then it was always like, let's try it, because they always tried to make us like be fa way fancier than we ever
Oh, yeah,
were.
totally.
And it was just, you know, you know, for a while we had to do like water on the one side and pour it this way, and like he always wanted us to hold the wine with like the punch in front.
Which
I'm like,
also, though,
no.
just like didn't make sense for the way the restaurant was set up. Like,
No.
if I can't access both sides of the table, then I'm not going to be able to pour from.
And these weren't regular sized tables. They were like low to the ground coffee tables because they were lounge chairs. And then, yeah, I'm trying to like hold those trays for a while because, yeah, for a while it was supposed to be, you know, we had to hold it. I was like, I physically cannot. No. And it seems like there was, because like I remember like a few times, yeah, he got yelled at because he was like trying to hold it with his other hand just to kind of like help a little bit because like his arm was dying. And I was like, oh
God.
man, I feel you. I feel
Yeah,
you.
right? So true.
What did you think of the women, so like the hostesses and everything? So like Pauline and Valentine,
Yeah, I
and then
mean,
there
they
ended
don't.
up being like a waiter who was a woman, Camille.
which was I found hilarious the way they reacted to her.
Yes.
I was like, oh, it's really a boys' club over there.
Well, and especially because, like, at first, they're just, like, she was really pretty, so they were just like, ooh, hey.
Yeah.
But then it turns out that, like, she was actually a server, and they're just like, what?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you don't, like, you really get sort of, like, it's like, he didn't really interact with them the same way, so you didn't get to see as much of, like, their personalities, really.
Well, like, kind of towards, and when it was, towards the end, like, so because, again, each of the kind of, like, sections or, like, chapters and stuff, you know, he'd go out with one person, you know, he'd have those, like, meaningful interactions with each. So, like, towards the end, you do get them with, like, Pauline, or, like, Valentine and Pauline, and then, and Camille as well. And it, but it's just, it's, again, him learning about that hierarchy of stuff, right? So, like, what you were saying, how, you know, he was helping those certain waiters because he knew he would tip them, and then, and but like they were all nice to the hostesses because that was then who determined who got what section, and then like, you know, the different, they were the ones who like, and how they knew how to like judge the customers
right
based on like what they were wearing or like and then that's, they then determined where they sat, which then determined how like busy the waiters would be, and then how much tips they would get, and like how that all worked, and how like it actually all came down to like these ladies at the front who just like, I also love how they just like peaced out after, because that is accurate,
right?
It's like, oh no, it's over, bye.
So funny. Yep.
Because yeah, there's one interaction where, I can't remember if it was Pauline or Valentine, but they had, they were outside having smoke, or he ran into her somewhere, like, and so he was just like, there were just like people walking on the street. And he was like, okay, like, tell me about that person. And they're like, that couple. And she's like, oh, well, you know, like, he's probably a lawyer and she's this. And, like, judging, you know, but just based off of, like, the time of day and what they're wearing and this and that. And, like, figuring all that stuff out. It's just so funny.
Love it.
So good.
So good. Oh, my God. I remember before we had a hostess. Okay, so that's the other thing that we didn't mention, was that for a hot minute there, we also had to host.
Yeah.
Host. We didn't have one of those.
Serve. Prep.
Yeah,
we helped, so there was in the kitchen.
One, it was one Christmas season, so there was a show, and I, for some bizarre reason, had said I would host slash take a section. So I was hosting, managing a wait list, and serving a section at the same time, and it was the most chaotic ever. And that was one of those times where they had moved things around, so they got extra tables into the lounge.
Of course.
Yeah, because they were so busy. So the sections were bigger than normal anyway. Oh my God. It was just like truly the most chaos I've ever experienced in my life. Because you kept, in order to like have people on a wait list, this was before we had the iPad. So like, it's not like we could text anybody to let them know their table was ready. They literally just would wait out in the atrium. So I'd have to run out to the atrium, be like, we have a table for you. Yeah. Run back in, answer to whoever was flagging me down. Or like, maybe it was going to end up being my table. So then I'd be like, cool, what can I get for you? And it was just pure chaos.
Yeah, all the time.
Yeah. And like when he says that about how it's a balancing act that is like almost always one wrong move from spinning out of control, like,
yeah,
it's true. On those really busy shifts, it's like, poof.
When I found one quote about Pauline, who seemed to kind of be like, I want to say like the head hostess maybe for a while.
Yeah.
But yeah, at night, however, when the shadows of the restaurant were at their most marked, she had an allure. Because they had kind of talked about how she was, like, maybe slightly past her prime in life.
Which, like, don't they find out she's only, like, 36?
Yeah. Pauline was an object of desire among the waiting staff, and her ability to play clients and waiters made her a true master of her craft. Mm-hmm. She knew every single gesture that would strike home, and when they were so slight, the slight touch of hair, the fleeting glance or the smile, or when necessary, a raised voice, the defiant stance. Right at the word... the right word at just the right time to put anyone in their place. She was, in every sense of the expression, a true master. Her presence was a constant in the restaurant, even for the diners. It was as if she ran the place. The whole show was for her, and she treated it as such. How we all looked at her was business. We were extras in her show.
Nice.
And I feel like in a lot of restaurants, that's really how it is. Because again, for us, we had some hostesses. good ones and not. But like the section one, like it wasn't all of our customers were just rich, white, entitled people.
Yeah, like very
Basically,
largely,
80%.
yeah.
And like as much as, there were a few tables that were kind of, the key tables that people would want, and like there were certain tables that people didn't want, like it wasn't that kind of a thing, right? Where it was like you could really make or break someone's night. Even if, say, like we had not been tip pooling or something, like
Right.
it wasn't, we didn't quite have that sort of a thing, but just from reading this, you could just tell, like, 'cause they talk about how, there's the VIP area, but if it's not busy, then it's empty. So like sometimes you want it, sometimes you don't, or like places that are farther away means you physically have to walk longer, so then you're not gonna be able to turn as many. But then you don't want, the people that sit where it's closer, so it's you can work faster, don't tip as well, and like just all of that. And then
Yeah.
like that's like the hostesses were actually like managing all of that technically just by deciding on who gets to sit where. It was like, whew, that's work.
Right? Yeah. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. Well, and I will have one quote that made me laugh just because like it's so not us. Well, at least not me anyway. But when Edward is talking with Sal, when he has this one of those nights where he goes out with Sal, Sal's his, like life advice is to live where the tomatoes are good.
Oh, yeah.
And aside from the fact that I hate tomatoes, but I was just like, but that's just like such a good like. If I was going to be a server in Paris, I would want some random Sicilian to give me this advice.
Right? I mean, listen, when I was in Switzerland, the tomatoes were noticeably better than they are here. So, like, it may be good life advice. Even if you don't like tomatoes, presumably if the tomatoes are good there, then other fruits and vegetables are also good. So I think it probably tracks.
Well, even if there's the point where, so just y'all know love we love that we love logistics. Listen to our other podcast. It's about teen dramas, but really logistics.
Right.
As the podcat immediately is like, yes, I'm here for logistics talk. I'm probably gonna purr in the microphone.
Nice.
So he needs to have a contract at the restaurant to show that he's working so that he can get a place in the like a an apartment. But he needs his like social security number to get a bank account. But to get a social security number, he needs to have like
Oh my
to get
God, that
paid, he
seemed
needs
like
to have a social
such
security.
a
Like there
nightmare.
was this weird loop around of like just all the like legal working paperwork that you need. And he kept like no one at the restaurant would like get it for him because obviously like they don't care and they just, at that point they weren't even really paying him. But Lucien's cousin just like forges all of it for him.
Yes, that was
But
great.
also gave him like a student ID card and another card so like he could go to museums for free and get discounted like movie tickets. I was just like, that just like made me laugh so hard.
Right.
Cause like that's just like you get really invested into like, is he gonna be able to like somehow be stable enough to like stay, or is he gonna have to go back to London, or like what is it? And then they're like, oh yeah, here, just like they literally spend like half an hour and he just like makes all this paperwork for him. And then everything's just like set and good.
Incredible.
Oh, I had one more like coffee writing quote that I just thought like applied to us. And this is when like he and Lucien are he's talking about how like he hates that it's that same coffee brand that they sell at the restaurant. And Lucien says, Balzac drank 50 cups, 50 cups a day. You want to be a writer? You're not drinking enough coffee. That's your problem.
That was a great one.
I was just like, ooh, yeah.
Yeah. It's a lot of
I
coffee,
need to
though.
have more coffee. Yeah. I know, because I just like, yeah, you just like picture them with like those like little tiny, like sort of almost like demi-tasse, whatever, just like pounding back this like awful coffee all
Right?
like for like 16 hours a day just to keep
God.
going. Did you read the chapter with the olives?
Yes.
That
My God.
short version is the owner of the restaurant comes. He wants olives for his mistress, and no one can find olives, and the delivery hasn't come. So, Edward and I can't even remember who it was that goes with him, probably Lucien. They go down to like the depths of somewhere and are like digging and searching and find one jar that falls on the floor. And I feel like this is very. So, the lounge that we worked in was actually a 200-year-old building. So, the basement of it was questionable at best.
Certainly haunted.
And 100%, I saw two girls on the staircase. But just the things that you would imagine to be in the depths of a French bistro were there. Some were alive, some were not. And they like scoop the olives up. And then the best part was when they get up there, because obviously they're like cleaning everything and trying to like then douse it back in olive oil. The director comes in and sees them and is just like, put more olive oil.
Oh my goodness.
While I have never done that, I assure you, people who have wanted caffeine have gotten decaf, and people who have wanted decaf have gotten caffeine.
I mean, yeah.
And that's just it. Like, there's just, and yeah, like, you were mentioning about how, like, eating food off the plates and just all of those things. It's so, I like the way that they, like, steal plates from each other for
Oh
service.
my God,
That
right?
was something that, like, obviously, like, I've never experienced.
No.
But, like, not that d didn't surprise me, like, in any way.
Oh no, that doesn't surprise me at all.
And I just loved, like, D'Souza's wedding. That whole
Oh,
sequence
that
was
was
just
so
so
great.
good.
Yeah.
The whole thing. It was just.
Yeah.
Again, because we just have so much experience in this, I feel like. That's why I wanted. That's why I picked this one, because I was like, no matter what, like, it's just gonna be so good to read.
Yep.
Oh, man. Again, I feel like it's one of those ones where, like, we could just, like, keep going and going. So I'm just trying to, like, see if I had any,
Probably.
like, last quotes written down, but I think that was everything that I had had highlighted, because again, obviously I had many of the same ones that you did because we're the same person. But it, I love, so like again, the whole thing, it does have this like kind of build of like, he finally gets in, he finally befriends everyone, they're a team, he starts to kind of get his own section, these little bits of stuff, but then it all slowly starts to fall apart, right? Like there's the people that are trying to take other people's jobs, other people literally just like disappear. Don't show up, never heard from again. And it gets to the point where then like new people come in, but again, yeah, there's all the like management things and stuff just kind of like starts to collapse. And there's this one wildly hot day and he like passes out and breaks his arm.
God.
And so like that's how he ends his career.
His career as a waiter.
And I was just like, oh man, like number one, I know those days. I have felt
Oh,
those
yeah.
days. I've been injured on those days. But then this whole time, because these waiters, they end up with like such a wonderful like a brotherhood. Because they know that he wants to be a writer, and they're like, go be a writer. And so he ends up like that's how this book was made, was that then he ended up like sending in a little like essay version to the Times.
Amazing.
And yeah. It was just like,
This is what I want to happen to me, is I want to like do a little essay version of something and have someone be like, oh, we can turn that into a book. I'm like, okay, let's do that. Hire me for all your writing needs.
yes. So yeah, it was just, I just really liked it.
Yeah, it was
Do you have
great.
any final thoughts?
I don't think so. I really enjoyed it. And like I said, made me miss it. All the insanity of it.
Yeah. Well, and I think it really showed, well, and exactly what like what we feel is that yes, it's, hard physically, mentally, sticky, smelly, sweaty, injury, you know, blood, sweat, tears, awful humans, you know, shitty managers. But if you have that group, that team,
yeah,
it doesn't matter.
It's true.
You know, like, I can think of all those, you know, the Friday preview nights where it was, you know,
oh, we're literally working the entire day. Oh, yeah, when you got that good crew going where you're, like, working like a well-oiled machine and then you get to the end of the night. Yeah.
Yeah, like that end where then you end up just, like, it takes forever to close because you're, you know, polishing all the, it laughs so hard and you kept talking about polishing cutlery and stuff like that. You know, doing that and you just, like, do all your stuff and then you're just, like, it's this weird, like, surviving thing. Like, we survived that together.
Yeah.
And again, yes, it's not, you know, a war or, like, a real serious thing, but, like, it's, if someone...
It's intense.
It's, yeah, like, if you've never done it, it's wild.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it is. It's like, that's what, I mean, as much as, obviously, like, I do enjoy making coffee and I have an elaborate coffee situation at home, it's the people, you know, like,
for sure.
Every time
I work. And, like, you could tell, like, you'd look at your schedule and who you were working with and you'd generally have a good idea if it was going to be a good shift or not.
Yeah. You know, and like, I worked at Starbucks more than once and it was, you know, obviously, you know, this has been a million years now. I don't know what it's like to work there now and like how things are, but like as a company at that time, it actually really was like super good. You could be part-time and have full benefits, stock mm-hmm. options, like all this stuff. Like it was really great if you were a single parent or, you know, second career, like whatever, or student, like all those things. And the only reason, you know, all the different times that I left was because of the people, you know, the people changed yeah. or like something like that, or then like, but yeah,
or,
then, you know, like,
or a pandemic happens.
Yeah, you know, that that happens.
Uh-huh.
I think somewhere too it says like, because he goes back at one point, but he doesn't actually go in. He can't go in.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I feel that. I can tell you the exact two times that I have been inside the gallery since I left in July of 2017.
I mean, I haven't been back inside the gallery since I left.
Well, that's because for half of that time we couldn't go outside.
Yes.
Oh, but yeah. Feel it. So yes, highly recommend if you like memoirs, excellent memoir. If you've been a server, I was talking with Steph that we used to work with
yeah.
about it, and I was like, I will get you this book.
Amazing.
As she is now serving in Ireland and feeling a lot of this daily. If you've never served but are like interested in it or just, you know, intrigued by the idea of it and like
life is like
yeah, and then like, but all of that while trying to live in France, like
yeah
it's really good. And yes, it is published by House of a Nancy. We'll have all the links and everything in our show notes. And it comes out August 9th. Highly recommend. We'll be back in 2 weeks for a book club book. We are talking about Home Before Dark by Riley Sager. It is a spooky thriller.
What?
Yes. Speaking of haunted houses. So we'll see you then.
Bye.